The virus is invisible, but you've seen it. The world has quite literally made us stop in anticipation as it looms closer with each passing day. The supply shortages left us chuckling to ourselves and maybe slightly frustrated by the inconvenience. Yet as we are forced to reorder our lives, we're all wondering how long. We feel on the edge of our seats and out of control. But in the chaos, in the confusion, wouldn't we want to be near a God who was in control? God is not absent. He is not far. He is not surprised. The Bible says God is sovereign over creation. Nothing surprises him. He declares the end from the beginning. He is our present help, wise counsel, comforter, healer. He is love. He is peace. He is friend. He is Father. The Bible says he is a father who sent his only son to pay my debt to God, paying the ultimate price for sin on the cross. And Jesus conquered death forever by rising from the grave, so that now all who take hold of him in faith are heirs of his life. God's people look forward to a day where there is no more fear, pain, tears, sickness. One where King Jesus ushers in his glorious future for creation. We can walk in confidence today because God hasn't changed. His plans haven't been overturned. Jesus says, "In the world you will find trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world."
Happy Easter, church. Christ is risen. And we say together, risen indeed. If we have not had the pleasure of meeting, my name is Chet. I am the pastor of student ministries here at Vernal Alliance Church, and I just want to welcome you to our Easter service. Whether you have been part of the VAC family for decades now, whether you are young or old, whether you are tuning in from Vernon or from thousands of miles away, whether you have come to celebrate a Savior that you know well or have taken a step of faith to meet him for the first time, we welcome you here. We are together as one in Christ. And I want to take a moment, church, to just receive the gift of this unity, the gift of his binding presence. I want to say to you, you are not alone. We are not far off. You are not forgotten. We are not isolated. Together, church, as the single body of Christ, will you pray with me now? Our Father, we are gathered as your church, together as one in the Spirit, whole as your body, loved as your bride. Sovereign God and all-loving Father, you are on your throne, ruling over all things, while also being present with us in all things. Remind us now of your power, your love, and your presence. Holy is your name. Your name is Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. You are Emmanuel, God with us. You are the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. You are the Good Shepherd leading us to still waters, restoring our soul, present with us in the shadow of death. You are Savior and healer. Holy is your name. Father, your kingdom has come in heaven. Cause it now to come on earth. Father, your will is done in heaven. Make it done on earth. In our souls, may your kingdom come. In our homes, may your kingdom come. In our city, may your kingdom come. In our country, may your kingdom come. In our world, may your kingdom come. In our lives, may your will be done. In our work, may your will be done. In our coming and our going, may your will be done. In our hospitals, may your will be done. In our governments, may your will be done. And give us this day you. You are Redeemer and Sustainer. You are daily bread. For grandparents and grandchildren, for aunties and uncles and cousins, for friends and brothers and sisters, nephews and nieces, who together grieve the loss of our physical presence with one another at Easter, we pray. For the safety and health and perseverance of our nurses and doctors, we pray. For all those still working, we pray. For those who have lost jobs, we pray. For those who are now ill, we pray. For the vulnerable, we pray. For the mourners, we pray. As you bring to mind now those whom we are to pray for, we now pause and pray together. Father, forgive us for the sins of this past week, for the impatience we have shown our children and loved ones, for being too short with our spouse or for those whom we care for being unkind to our siblings or neighbors. Father, forgive us. For the complaining that has come too easy, for the generosity we have withheld, for the negativity we have sowed. Father, forgive us. For not trusting you as good, for not believing you are sovereign, for not resting in your love. Father, forgive us. And Father, we now forgive the wrongs against us. We do not let hostility grow. We do not give resentment any ground. We resist hate and welcome love. We bless those who have hurt us, wounded us, and done evil to us. Your grace is for them as well. Deliver us from evil because of your life, your death, your resurrection. On earth, we now celebrate this, that we are your redeemed. The old has passed. The new has come. We have been set free, and we are free indeed. We stand as more than conquerors. Death is defeated, and we are redeemed in Jesus' name. Praise be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Church, I'd invite you at this time to bring together the bread and the cup. We are, as a church family, going to participate in communion together. This is an act that Christ has given us. It is a symbol of his work on the cross. It is what we celebrate at Easter. And I love that we will have a chance to participate together as one. Pastor Dwayne is going to lead us later on in the service, but I'd encourage you to now grab those items so that we can participate as one family, one body of Christ. Church, in faith now together, we are going to give of our tithes and offerings. Text to give or online giving are two modes available to us. And as we participate in worship together in this way, let us pray. Father God, you give us all things. You are the giver of good gifts. Father, with thanks, we turn our hearts towards you, reaffirming that in you we trust alone. Father, use these gifts for the advancement of your kingdom and the proclamation of your word here in Vernon and around the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've been wondering how the Fitchett family is doing, we are doing well. I have a smart and creative wife, and she is just finding so many fun ways to engage the kids. The sun is out, which means I get to work in my yard, which is something I absolutely love. And Jesus has been teaching me again what it means to trust him. A real rubber meets the road type of trust. In ministry, Route 6 and Rain and Young Adults have continued, and we invite your ongoing prayers. It's a little bit different, but the work is still the same as we seek to disciple students in their journey of faith. Church, one of the things that we did this past week was we invited you to submit Easter greetings. And we've put together some of those Easter greetings now, and I trust you will enjoy.
Hey, everyone. We're down here at our farm getting ready for spring. And we just wanted to say, what was it we wanted to say, Ma?
Happy Easter to you all!
Cheers, guys.
Happy Easter, church, from Lindsay and Luca. I miss you, love you, can't wait to worship with you soon. Hope you're enjoying some time with your family and loved ones. Love you all. See you soon.
Easter greetings from Brian and Marion Crager.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Happy Easter.
from the Penners.
Hi.
Hi.
We're Jerry and Heather Wyman. We would like to wish you a happy Easter season.
Love you. Bye.
Hey, Church. Happy Easter from Trudy.
Happy Easter, everyone, from Linda Fisher. God is love, 1 John 4. Love is God's nature. With my care group and family, we're making it through this time. Have a great one. Bye.
Happy Easter, VAC family.
From Len and Doreen.
Hey, Church. Sharon and Glenn here, wishing you a happy Resurrection Sunday. Sharon's going to read a little scripture verse for you.
From 1 Peter 1-3, Blessed be the Lord God our Father, Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Happy Easter, Church, and stay safe, and we hope to see you soon. We miss you all. Bye now.
Bye.
Happy Easter!
From the Achefa family.
God bless you all.
Woo! Happy Easter.
Happy Easter from Gary
and Catherine.
3, 2, 1.
Happy Easter! Christ is risen.
Risen indeed.
Love the fidgets.
Happy Easter from my home. To our staff, to our pastors, to our beloved church family. May God bless you. May you find peace and joy through this Easter season.
Morning, VAC. So good to see everyone.
Happy Easter to all at VAC. We love you all. See you again soon. Bye-bye.
Love, Andy and Mo. Bye-bye.
Happy Resurrection Sunday, VAC, from the O'Dwyers. Trust you're all doing well during this time of self-isolation. Can't wait to get back together and see all your smiling faces once again. God bless.
Shalom from Bonnie and Gord McKinnon.
Happy
Easter,
everyone.
Love
the mountains.
David and Eleanor Friesen.
Remember, he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
That was great. I love that. I love seeing your faces, and I miss that. If you didn't see your Easter greeting there, know that we have more of those at the end of the service, so please stay online and see the rest of those awesome greetings. I also want to let you know, VAC Kids, there's some great resources for you online, so please check those out. Our team has been working hard to post some great material and some great fun for you there. Now, Church, we are going to continue in worship, led by the Youngs. Young family, thank you so much for leading us in this way. And as we do so, I just want to affirm something. See, we are so aware of all that has changed right now, but we need to reaffirm at this time what hasn't changed. See, what hasn't changed is that we have a firm foundation, Jesus. That has not changed. What hasn't changed is that we have a calling to be light in the darkness. That hasn't changed. We have a hope that is unchanging. Christ has come. Christ is here with us. And Christ is coming again. And so, Church, let us praise together as one the unchanging name of the Lord our God.
Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in Okay.
Welcome, church. Welcome to our home. And happy Easter from the Youngs.
Yeah, it's so good to have you joining in with us today. We wish we could be together in the big church at VAC, and just we miss that big sound that you guys bring. But we're here today, and we're here to celebrate. Christ mm-hmm. is risen. He is risen indeed. Mm-hmm. We're just so grateful for what he's done, and just the difference he makes for us each and every day. He brings joy to this house. He brings joy to this family. And we just love to sing his praises. Easter is the big weekend of the year for Christianity, because it's what sets us apart. Jesus Christ didn't just die, but God's power raised him from the dead. For that, we read in 1 Peter, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. It's kept in heaven for you." Let's celebrate, church.
In the darkness, we were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt.
Now there's this gospel truth, the bold shall called my name, and I ran out of that grave.
Easter Church, welcome here. This is a brand new way of doing things, and I'm standing on a spot where I often come for pilgrimage and to get away, and I thought this would be a suitable place. It's up at Fairhaven. It's a leadership retreat, and it's a place where leaders can come and find rest and restore. And so I'm here, and I want to bring the Easter message to you from here today. In The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, there was a conversation at the very beginning between a character named Gandalf and a character named Bilbo. And Gandalf was trying to attempt to get Bilbo to follow him on an adventure. And Bilbo was having nothing to do with it. And Gandalf challenged him that if he did do this, that he would have the opportunity to tell great tales. And we pick up the conversation where Bilbo asked the question. He said, "You can promise that I'll come back." And Gandalf replies and says, "No, if you do, you will not be the same." On March the 11th, many of us could not imagine where we would end up today. This pandemic has changed things as we know. We began a journey that has an indeterminate end, and it's forever changing the way we think, the way we do life, and the way we gather. Intuitively, we know that things have changed. We know that our normals are not the same. That's the reason for us choosing our Easter theme. Easter changed everything. This year, everything has changed. So how do we make sense of this in the light of the hope of the Easter story? Well, today I want to talk to you about three different perspectives of the Easter story: pilgrimage, pain, and promise. And as I said, part of the visual background of this will be a pilgrimage up and around the property that I'm on. So pilgrimage. What is a pilgrimage? Well, a pilgrimage is a journey of some sort, usually spiritual in nature, and it's usually to a sacred place or to different places around the world. It's an age-old tradition. Every major religion has their own pilgrimages that they subscribe to or that they endorse. And usually there along the way there are different rites or rituals or spiritual practices. In scripture we see this as well. In the Old Testament, the idea of pilgrimage was a journey or exile, but it was primarily focused on seeking spiritual formation and seeking God in a physical place. In the New Testament, we see a change in focus in that. And in the New Testament, it becomes more about seeking God through his son, Jesus. And here we come into the Easter story. In modern times, though, pilgrimage has become more about a personal getaway, a personal journey. And there's many ways that it's happening, but it's often independent and creative and often centers around less about spirituality and sometimes more about purpose. Abraham Josiah Heschel, a leading Jewish theologian, said this: "Faith is not clinging to a shrine, but an endless pilgrimage of the heart. In every pilgrimage, there are themes of journey, pain, and promise." In Genesis 12, 1-9, we see the pilgrimage of Abram. He's called to leave his family. It's the pain of leaving all of the networks that he's built up and the lands that he has, and he's called to go into a different place. As well, though, along with that call, there is this idea of promise that he would be blessed beyond measure. In Luke 19:35-44, we see the pilgrimage of Jesus being illustrated as he comes into Jerusalem. It's called the triumphal entry, and it's the kickoff to Holy Week. It's the journey of our Lord into the city that would ultimately reject him. And we see pain illustrated here in the fact that Jesus weeps over the city because of what he knows is coming and what he knows that they have rejected. Zig Ziglar said this: "Difficult roads often lead to beautiful destinations." It's been said that this Easter will be no like no other. Our very core grounding principles have been removed or turned upside down. Pilgrimages to religious institutions that are part of our normal celebration have been canceled or stopped. Gatherings and family units which bind us together and create that human connection that we need has been altered. The very foundation of renewal and celebration and new life seems to have been ripped apart, and perhaps you're feeling fragmented or separated. So how do we reconcile these two paradigms, the one of chaos and the one of hope? I want to begin with the story of Easter, and I'm going to be taking it from Luke, the 22nd chapter. We see it begins with the pilgrimage of Jesus to the cross. It includes and illustrates the pain of that journey. And then it ends with a promise fulfilled as evidenced by the empty tomb. So here's my first observation. It's not a story of completion. Rather, it's a story of ongoing promise and restoration of all things. So throughout history, Easter has been observed and celebrated in the face of many other different crises across the globe. And yet still the word of God moves on. Still the promise and hope of Jesus lives on. That no matter what, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is not the end of the story. Rather, it's the beginning of the promise of a new future restoration of all things. So how do we remain grounded? How do we gain perspective? Well, one of the ways that we can do this is by celebrating communion or the Lord's Supper. And part of a pilgrimage is a shared common experience. And we know in this day and age that we can't do that literally and physically. But I want to encourage you today. We're going to do this virtually. So I'm going to give you a moment. Go gather your family together. Set aside the distracting things. And we're going to engage in communion and celebrate the Lord's Supper today. So here I have a table prepared for the Lord's Supper. I have my bread and I have my juice or wine or whatever you would have put in your place there. To lead us into communion, I have a reading from Isaiah 53, just to kind of set the stage. And it's verses 3 to 6. It says this. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. As we come to the table today, the Lord's Supper is both remembrance and anticipation. Today we remember it was his journey and his pain. The provision of promise of eternal life and the restoration of all things is also represented by the table. And it's a remembrance that this is one thing we can do together that unifies us. It's also an anticipation of a renewed hope and ongoing fulfillment of the promise. And it's an anticipation of his return. So I would invite you to follow along. I'll be reading from Luke 22 and verse 19. And it says, he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The body of Christ broken for you. Let's partake. And then in Luke 22, verse 20, in the same way after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. So as you take the cup, the blood of Jesus poured out for you. Let's partake. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this moment in time where we are joined across the digital and virtual world, where we can come together around a common table, the table of the Lord's Supper, where we can be united in spirit, remembering the gift that you gave and remembering what is to come. And so, Father, we stand united in this moment, accepting the promise that comes out of Easter, the promise that was evidenced by your death, burial, and resurrection. We both remember that, and we look eagerly to the future for the anticipation of the restoration of all things and for your return. So, Father, we love you. We thank you for these sweet moments where we can join together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you, church. So now we see a change in scene. The meal is over, and Jesus and his disciples are standing and gathering their things, and they're getting ready to head out. And there's this little verse in Luke 22:39, and it gives us a glimpse. It says, Jesus went out as usual. So this, to the disciples, this was a sense that this was just a regular part of the celebration that they were experiencing. There'd be nothing indicating the pain and the turmoil that might have been happening within Jesus' mind and heart. So we see the movement from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane. And this is where we actually see pain illustrated or evidenced by Jesus. In Luke 22:42, it says this, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Not my will, but yours be done. One commentary puts it this way. The Redeemer for a moment shrank back and asked the Father if the cross was the only means of gaining the glorious end in view. The saving of souls unencumbered millions. Could not God, in his unlimited power, find another way of reconciliation? And yet beneath this awful agony, the intensity of which we are utterly incapable of grasping, beneath it, there lay the intensest desire that his Father's wish and will should be done. That wish and will were in reality his own. The prayer was made and answered. It was not the Father's will that the cup would pass away, and the Son's will was entirely the same. It was answered by a gift of strength. So remember, none of his followers would have ever understood this. And yet, Jesus, by evidencing his pain and turmoil, allows us to identify with him. We can identify with the Son of God in this moment simply from the feeling of pain and agony that would come out of a most difficult journey in ahead. So what is pain? Pain is an unpleasant sensation that can range from mild and localized discomfort to agony. I want to present that pain exists in two forms, both physical and psychological. And psychological could include many different things. And there's many different types of pain, social, mental, emotional, all kinds. But I want to tell you a story. When I was younger, I loved to BMX. And I had this brand new bike. And I thought, you know what, I gathered some friends around and I was going to jump this BMX. And so I was doing okay. You know, it was a big hump. And on the end of the hump was pavement. I wasn't paying it no mind. I'm 15, 16 years old. Who cares? Well, on the last jump, I was challenged by someone to go as high as I possibly could. Well, in that moment, proud Dwayne, a teenager, decided that I'm going to show him. So away I went, lots of speed. I hit that jump and I flew like a bird. And then physics took over. My front wheel dipped and I ended up leaving lots of my face and my knuckles along that pavement. As I got up, there was several types of pain I felt. Physical, emotional, and a lot of humility because I had to limp my bike home. My point is, we've all had these intense moments of pain, physical or otherwise. It's his experience of pain that we can identify with that allows us to accept what the writer in Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Throughout the Easter story, we see and hear about pain. The pain of loss as Jesus wept over the city that would eventually reject him. The pain of responsibility when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and trying to wrestle with the fact and the consequences of what he would have to do. And then, of course, the pain of separation on the cross. Perhaps today you're experiencing pain. Perhaps this whole pandemic thing has caused you to experience pain that you've never experienced before. I know it has affected me in some ways, but I want to encourage you. Here's my second observation today. The experience of pain deeply connects us to the life of Jesus. Hebrews 4:15, which I've quoted once before, but I'll say it again, for we do not have a high priest incapable of sympathizing with our weaknesses, but who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. So you need to understand that regardless of what you're experiencing today, the message of Easter, the hope that exists, is beyond the circumstances that you are facing today. In your pain, regardless of the type, Jesus wants to and he can meet you there. He wants to bring healing and strength and comfort and grace and patience for this journey ahead. You know what he only requires? Simply an invitation. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." First part of that scripture says, "For God so loved the world." And the word "the world" in that context has a Greek meaning, and it comes from the word cosmos. It encompasses the idea of an ordered system like the universe in all of creation. So my third observation is this. Out of his pilgrimage to the cross comes identification with our struggle. Out of his pain comes salvation, reconciliation, and restoration. Out of an empty tomb comes the promise for now and future of his authority over all things. Because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, we have the promise of eternal life. We have the promise of the restoration of all things. And we have a promise of provision, healing, deliverance, safety, and peace. So the message of Easter is Christ now has the power of life over death. Your life can be dramatically changed by one who can identify with all aspects of it. Our continuing pilgrimage through this pandemic journey does not have to define you. It does not have to be subject to the constant chaos and shifting around you. Rather, you can have the peace of God that passes all understanding because of Easter. God's promise is that it will be a restoration of all things, and it begins in Jesus, and you have a part to play in it. In his recent book, Resurrection and the Renewal of Creation by N.T. Wright, he says this: Easter is the start of something. It isn't the ending. It is the beginning of a new creation, which has been made possible by the overcoming of the forces of corruption and decay in the death of Jesus. So here's my final connection and observation. In other words, the pilgrimage, pain, and promise of Easter is not a closure to something. Rather, it's the prologue to each of our stories and our participation in the restoration of all things. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I would invite you to consider Easter as this point at which you would step into this story. I would invite you to consider Easter as your prologue. And Jesus stands and he extends the pen and he invites you to step into writing the story that Easter creates for you. It's one of forgiveness. It's one of promise. And it's an invitation. Jesus steps forward and he offers you a pen and he says, "Would you write it with me?" If perhaps you are a follower of Christ, I have a verse for you as well. Psalms 84:5 says this: "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage." If you're a believer in Christ, can I encourage you to reframe the way that you approach this season of life? Can I encourage you to lean into this unexpected journey, this unexpected journey towards something that we don't even know where it's going to end at this point in time? Reframe your thinking so that you'll lean into the idea that it's a new way of doing things. It's a different way of doing things. And Jesus offers you the pen and says, "Won't you write a new story with me?" I'm not diminishing in any way the severity of this disease, nor am I diminishing the ability of God to heal and to remove it. But what I am saying is the pathway forward is ultimately his call, and we get to participate, whether it's by praying or just simply cleaning our hands. But our part that we need to do for ourselves is to recognize that this is different. This is a change. And it's an opportunity for us to reprioritize our lives around the message of Easter, that there's hope and restoration of all things for the future. Before we close, there's another song, and it's called "God So Loved." And I would encourage you, if you would like to receive prayer today, that click on the live prayer button. Someone will be there to pray with you. If you'd like someone to introduce you to Jesus Christ, then again, select the request prayer button, and someone would love to pray with you in that regard. If you do make a first-time decision during this song, we'd love to hear from you. Would you please make a note so that we can celebrate with you? So let's engage in the season ahead. The story of Easter is not diminished because there is crisis around us. In fact, the story of Easter is amplified because of the crisis. And as Christian believers, we have the opportunity to provide an example of faith, of hope, grace, and peace toward all mankind because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not the end of the story. It's just the beginning.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Hey, I just want to say a huge shout out and thank you to the Young family. Thank you for blessing us with worshiping music this weekend. You've done a lot of great work, and we just want to say a special shout out. So as we close today, as you celebrate Easter, remember it's not a beginning. It's not the closing chapter. There's not a period that follows the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, it's an exclamation mark that follows, which means there's an anticipation of more to come. And we're so excited. Next week, we kick off a four-week series, and it's called The Fourfold Gospel. And Pastor Chet will be kicking it off with Christ our Savior. So he'll be expanding this theme and the faithfulness of Christ next week. And the reason why we're doing that is because we have participated from January till now in a series called The DNA of a Follower of Christ. Now we want to find out, what does it mean to be a follower of Christ within the Alliance denomination? And we have a fourfold gospel. It's Christ our Savior, Christ our Sanctifier, Christ our Healer, and Christ our Coming King. So I just want to recommend that series to you folks, and we'd love to see you there. Also, just a reminder to stay connected on our social media feeds. Lots of new content coming out and new ideas that are being generated. And we'd love to hear back from you as well. The Easter greeting that you all sent were so appreciated, and we love them. And there's more following this closing as well. But we just want to say we love you, church. Thank you for leaning into connecting online in this way. So as we close in our different rooms, whether it's a living room, a kitchen, wherever it may be, fragmented as we may be physically, we can be unified in spirit, unified around the communion table, and unified around the hope and the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ through this Easter season. So a prayer for you as we go. My prayer is that you may discover through the pilgrimage and pain of the season a hope and a peace beyond measure, that you would discover once again the fresh promises of God made available through the death, burial, and resurrection of his Son, and that you would find your place in the story of restoration of all of creation for the purpose of his kingdom work and to bring glory to God our Father. Amen. Go in peace. Happy Easter. Enjoy the time where you're at, and we'll see you here back. We'll see you back here next week. Happy Easter, folks.
Hi, my name is Vic Charlebois. I'm a member of Vernon Alliance Church, but I'm also a deacon. And this is a terrible time of year for us. The world is going through a devastating time with the virus. And so I'm going to wish you all a happy Easter. And I'm going to ask you to pray for the frontline workers who risk their lives every day in an effort to save lives. So happy Easter and have a good holiday.
Happy Easter,
Tosh. Happy Easter from the Cover family.
Bug.
Happy Easter from the Cover family. We miss y'all very much, church. Say bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Happy Easter from
June, Clara, Elsa,
Adrian,
Clint,
and Ivy. Hi, Missy.
Happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Easter. Happy Easter. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter from the Shoal Ice family.
Happy Easter from the Fitches.
Easter blessings, VAC.
May the light of salvation shine bright wherever you are.
He is risen.
He has risen indeed.
Happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Easter from the Carlaws.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Happy Easter from the Kinnebers.
May you know the nearness and the presence and the love of Jesus in your life this Easter season. Bless you, friends.
Happy Easter from the folks.
Howie.
Karen.
Brianna.
Kelsey.
Josiah.
Happy Easter, VAC, from Shirley and Mano in downtown Vernon. Hope you have a great weekend and good weather. God bless you all.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
From the Isaacs.
From the Isaacs.
Happy Easter from Abe
and Sue.
Happy Easter from the Severson Farm.
Happy Easter.
From the Ireland.
Hi. Happy Easter to everyone from Lars and Norma, who's hiding behind me. And we have all been self-isolating with our puppies, Sabrina and Fernando, and hope everybody has a really good weekend and a safe one. Bye for now.
Hi, this is the Sproles. We're up on the roof.
Take two.
Hey, hi from the Sproles. We're up.
Where? On a roof.
Yeah, and we're kind of, this is our best place to watch Vernon, so here you are. Have a good Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter! He has risen!